Well, it's good to be here, and I appreciate the hospitality of your church and, of course, the beautiful place that we're staying, the wonderful basket. We have already had a great time and looking forward to it this week. Thank you, Pastor Merrick, for allowing me to preach. Go to Luke chapter 19 this morning, Luke chapter 19, and it is a privilege and honor, and I don't take it lightly. And as a young preacher in a lot of places I preach, sometimes it's the first time a pastor's heard me, and that's a lot of trust that they're putting in somebody to stand behind their pulpit. The pastor has to give an account for everybody, I believe, that stands behind the pulpit and preaches, and so I appreciate his trust, and so we want to try to do justice to the Word of God, and we want to make sure that we're preaching what the Lord has for us, and so I don't take this lightly. Luke chapter 19, we're going to look at a very, I guess you'd say, familiar portion of Scripture, maybe a Sunday school lesson that we have heard as kids. And look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, That he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, the Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." I want to really focus in on verse number 3 where it said, "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was." I want to preach just a little bit of this thought this morning. Jesus, I'd like to know him. And I believe Zacchaeus is saying, I want to know who he is. Let's pray and we'll get into the message. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to stand behind the pulpit and preach your word. Lord, we don't take it lightly that we can just stand here and proclaim what the Word of God says and expound on the Scriptures. And Lord, I ask that you would be with the hearers today, Lord, that you would speak to hearts. Lord, if there's somebody here that doesn't know you as a personal Lord and Savior, what a great day it is to get saved. And Lord, I ask that you would bless, have your will in your way in Jesus' name. And amen. You may be seated. Jesus, of course, has entered here into Jericho. And as far as the Bible goes, I believe this is one of two occasions where Jesus enters into Jericho. And if you're familiar with the stories in the Old Testament, we know how Jericho was defeated. And if you're ever go over to the land of Israel, you can go to Jericho, and then you'll have to go up to get up to Jerusalem. And Jesus is coming through here, and we've probably heard the story before. We've may even sung the song about how Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. And we know how he climbed the sycamore tree. But we really want to focus in on what is stated here when Zacchaeus made this statement that he wanted to see who Jesus is. We have a lot of people that we could go out maybe in your community and the community in which I live, and we could ask them, do you know who Jesus is? And they may say, yes, I've heard about him. I've heard people talk about him. I've heard different things. We've had people come and they've given us pamphlets or literature. And so I know a little bit about him. But the question really is, do you really know who he is? It's not just about a head knowledge. It's about knowing him. And you may say today, preacher, I'm saved. I know him. But do you really know what he likes? Do you really know what his dislikes are? Do you really know him on a personal level? And so we want to look at that this morning. Notice the situation of the massive crowd. Of course, the story here goes, Zacchaeus hears that Jesus is coming in and he wants to see the Lord, but the Bible records that he is a short man. And I'm assuming, I don't really know how tall or short he was, but if you take the average height of those over in that land, he must have been a really short guy. And so there's a massive crowd, and I'm sure because of the fame of Jesus and what he has done, the people have gathered around. Everybody wants to see Jesus. We can agree that everybody in here has a desire. I mean, they're there, the crowd's there. Why is it then that Jesus takes the time to seek out Zacchaeus? Everybody's in the crowd, but Zacchaeus specifically goes beyond just wanting to be in the crowd. He's wanting to meet Jesus. We see the situation of the massive crowd. We notice the stature of the money collector. The Bible says not only that he's short, he's not very tall, but it also says he's a rich man. We know he's the chief of the publicans. He is a tax collector. I hate to get into his livelihood here, but understand, much in like our days, I hope nobody in here is a tax collector, people didn't like him. He worked for the IRS and he was not a fan of the people. The people did not care much for him. He most likely was a Jewish man who was working with the Roman government. And so the people would have liked him. And because the Bible states that he was rich, most likely he was a crooked man. And they would raise the taxes, and others would raise it so that they could benefit off of what the Roman government was collecting. But can I tell you, even though he was rich, even though he was well off, he was wanting. Money cannot buy happiness. Money cannot get us the joy that we need. There are a lot of people who have great wealth. There are a lot of people, and I'm not again, if your bank account is full of money, praise God, I hope you're a giver. But that's not what's going to bring joy in your life. There are a lot of people who have great wealth and they have great status in life, but they're missing something. Mankind has a void that's in there, and you wonder why people go to drugs and alcohol and all the different things this world has to offer. They're looking to fill a void. That void that is there is meant to be filled by Jesus Christ. And so even though he's well off, he's wanting, he knows there's something missing. There's more to this life than what I have right now. And I need to see this man called Jesus. He was well off, but he was wanting. He was short, but he was seen, thankfully. Even though this man, the Bible records, is of little stature, I'm glad Jesus saw him. You and I may be insignificant when it comes to this world and to society. You and I may be a nobody, but can I tell you, Jesus Christ, when he died, he had you on his mind and he saw you through time, and he has seen you when you in your needs and in your wants and in your desires. Nobody else in this world may know who you are and know the needs that you have, but Jesus Christ has seen you. He may have been short, but he was seen. He was disliked, but he was divinely loved. You may be in here, and I'm sure nobody in here is this way, but you may not be liked by anybody in this world, but Jesus Christ loves you. I'm thankful. I personally can't think of one person who doesn't like me. You say, preacher, I've got a list of people who don't like me. Well, I just pretend that everybody likes me. But even if everybody hated me, I'm glad I got a God who sent his only begotten Son. When he loved the world, he loved me. And even though the people around, you say, how do you know he wasn't liked? Because when Jesus started talking to Zacchaeus, what did the people do? They started murmuring. Don't you know who you're talking to, Jesus? Don't you realize whose house you're about to go to? It's amazing to me. Because there are several times when Jesus goes and he's going to sit with sinners, or he's going to eat with sinners. And don't misunderstand, sometimes we think that that gives us a right to just tolerate sin. That's not what Jesus was doing. He was going to meet with them to change their life. He wasn't accepting their sin, but he was wanting to make a difference in them. But when he would meet with the people, the Jewish people, especially the Pharisees and the scribes, they didn't like it. Can't you see who you're eating with, who you're getting with? Can I tell you, I'm glad that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He told the Pharisees, the whole need not a physician. I'm glad he came to save a sinner like me. And so we see the stature of the money collector. Notice the seeking that caused this man to climb. Now, it's been a long time since I've climbed a tree. And I know you've ever climbed a tree, maybe once in my life. I could not imagine, here's a man who would consider himself to be well-to-do. Not well-respected, but he was a well-off man. Most likely would have been a man kind of prideful in what he does. Maybe even thought himself better than others because of his financial situations. And he's about to climb a tree. What would possess him to do that? Notice the seriousness about this. When Zacchaeus is here in Jericho and Jesus is coming to town and he's coming through Jericho, Zacchaeus realized, I've got to do whatever it takes to be able to see Jesus. I've got to be willing to do whatever it takes to be able to see this one they call Jesus. And he got serious about it. Not only did he get serious, we see the sincerity of it. He wasn't doing this just for show. He wasn't doing it so everybody else could see him. Zacchaeus had no idea that Jesus was going to stop at the tree that day. He just said, I want to be able to see him. I've heard about him, but we see his spirit. Talk about humility. I'm guessing, I mean, could you imagine one of us take you in your Sunday best and you're out there and there's a massive crowd in town and you're climbing up a tree? People are going to look at you kind of weird. People are going to look going, what is that person doing? Zacchaeus was willing to get up in the tree and see Jesus. He came with a humble spirit. And so it caused him to want to do whatever it takes to see Jesus. Can I tell you that you and I should seek after him? We don't have to climb a tree though. We have his word right here. It's amazing that Zacchaeus was willing to climb a tree just to be able to see Jesus. And you and I have the completed word of God. And we won't even spend time in it to find out who he is. We won't even spend time in the word to spend time with him. So we see the seeking that caused the man to climb. But notice the speculation of who this man Christ was. He makes that statement in verse number 3, or the statement is made, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. There was a message, it's been years ago, I never had the privilege of hearing it preached, but I've heard about it. And there were several preachers who preached this line of message about Zacchaeus and how he came to meet Jesus, and the speculation that as he collected taxes, maybe from the cripple man, and then the next time he went to go collect taxes, the cripple man wasn't crippled anymore, and maybe he went to collect taxes from a blind man, and the next time he went back, he wasn't blind anymore, and as he's going to meet these people, and they're different, their situation has changed, there's a question that would process through Zacchaeus' mind, and that is, how in the world did your situation change? Now, I don't know if there's any truth to that or not. I don't know if Zacchaeus ever met somebody who had been healed by Jesus. It's a good possibility. He's certainly heard about Jesus. He certainly heard of the person of Jesus. He knew his name. Like I said, there's a lot of people who know the name of Jesus. Now, it is also amazing in our society and our culture, and we'd be amazed by it, but there are a lot of people who don't know who Jesus is. As pastoring in the St. Louis area, and even now when we're home and we do door knocking and we're in the St. Louis area, we have a lot of Catholic people. And I'm not trying to beat anybody up, but they know the name of Jesus. They even know some scripture about Jesus. They would even testify that they believe that Jesus was born of a virgin and that he died for them. But can I tell you, there are a lot of people who don't actually know him because they've never met him personally. There are a lot of believers that sit, there are a lot of people that sit in good independent Baptist churches that I feel they've heard about Jesus, but they've never met him personally. Zacchaeus heard of the person. He heard of his power. His fame was known abroad. I don't know specifically in Zacchaeus' life what it was that caused Zacchaeus to seek Jesus outside of the fact that he knew he was missing something in his life. Zacchaeus wasn't a crippled man. He wasn't blind. He wasn't lame in that sense. He didn't have a loved one who was hurting. We know story after story in the New Testament of someone who came to Jesus because of a situation in their life where they had an issue. And Zacchaeus, it doesn't give us one except for the fact that he was missing something. Zacchaeus knew that there was something that wasn't right, and Zacchaeus had heard about the power of Jesus, and I'm just speculating here that Zacchaeus thought, if he could help them, surely he can help me. Can I just say as a side note for you and I as believers, when's the last time we've had somebody in our life look at what Jesus has done in our life and say, if he can do it for them, maybe he can do it for me? And too many times in our personal life, we're not living a life that is allowing our neighbors and our family members and our coworkers to see Christ through us. And there are people who need help. There are people who are hurt. And there are people who are seeking something. And if they could just see Christ in us and see how he's changed us and see how he's made us different, maybe, just maybe, they can see that in your life, and we can be a testimony and we can tell them about Jesus Christ and they would come to him. So Zacchaeus heard of his person, he heard of his power, but it wasn't enough. He wanted to know him personally. And Pastor mentioned it already, my dad's been here and he's preached, and man, I'm thankful for my dad. I love my dad. We talked yesterday, he's in Maryland preaching this morning, and I'm thankful for the heritage that God has given me. My grandpa was a pastor, pastored in the central Illinois area for many, many years. Both my grandpa and my dad have great stories of what Jesus has done in their life. Man, I love to sit, and if you've ever been around my dad, he can carry on a conversation, and he's got stories about everything that you can imagine. But my favorite stories to hear is when God just showed up. I love to hear where God just got real in their life. Where God met a need that my mom and dad had specifically, and that God did something great in their life. But can I tell you, I don't want to be just satisfied with God being their God. I don't want to be just satisfied with the fact that my parents know him personally. I want to know him in a personal, real way. And Zacchaeus had that same desire. So we see the Savior's invitation to make himself close. I love this. Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus. He climbed a tree, and Jesus came to him. Jesus came to the place, the Bible said, and he looked up. I'm thankful that you and I have a Savior who came down to this earth, who robed himself in flesh and humanity, who is willing to live on this earth and die for us, and rose again 3 days later so that we could have salvation and that we could know the Father. You remember in Job's day, he said, I wish I had a daysman, somebody who could go between me and God on my behalf, and so we could have a conversation. That is Jesus Christ. He's the mediator that we have that's there. And he came so that you and I can have a relationship with the Father, and so that we can have a conversation, so that we can boldly go to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. And Jesus Christ came and he invited Zacchaeus to get close. It's one thing for Zacchaeus to want to get to know Jesus. It's another thing for Jesus to reciprocate and say, come on, let's get close. There are a lot of well-to-do people I'd like to be friends with. Man, there's some people out there that that it would be nice if they were my friend. But I can tell you this, for instance, if I went to go try to get close to President Trump right now, I don't know that he would feel the same. If I walked up to him and just said, hey, how's it going, Mr. President? And just wanted to, I don't know that he would be my buddy. I don't know that he would say, hey, let's go to your house. I don't know that I want him coming to my house. I'd rather go to his house, but that's neither here nor there. And Jesus said, no, I want to go to your house. Jesus said, I want to get close to you. And Jesus said, I'm going to spend some time with you. So what did he reveal to Zacchaeus? When Zacchaeus sought Jesus and Jesus said, come and I'm going to get close to you, what Zacchaeus found out is that Jesus is a friend. I'm thankful that he's a friend. The Bible said a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Zacchaeus found out at this moment that Jesus was his friend. You understand, they accused Jesus of being a friend to publicans and sinners in the gospel and here, and Jesus proved himself true that he is a friend of sinners. And I'm glad that he's a friend of sinners, because if he wasn't, you and I would be going to hell, and you and I would have no chance to make it to heaven if it wasn't for the friendship that Jesus said, I want to have with you and I. He also found he is faithful. Zacchaeus found out that Jesus is a friend. He found out he's faithful. I'm thankful that the Bible tells us, we read this text the other day, that let your conversation be without covetousness, be content with such things you have. For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may say, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Zacchaeus found out very quickly that the Jesus that is here, the Son of God, the Son of Man that he wanted to see, he wasn't just a friend, but he's faithful. He found out that he's a forgiver. Jesus said, this day is salvation come to thy house. This house. Now, don't misunderstand. Sometimes we look at our text and we think, well, Zacchaeus got salvation because he was willing to pay back and he was willing to give back, and that's how he got salvation. No, no, no. He got salvation because he put his faith in Jesus, and then in return, Zacchaeus had a change of heart. Zacchaeus had a change of mind, if you will, and Zacchaeus got things right, and Jesus declared the fact that salvation came, and he offered forgiveness. I'm glad that he forgives. Oh, I'm so thankful. Now, I don't ever want to frustrate grace. I don't want to ever take advantage of grace, but I'm thankful I serve a forgiving God. You know what I'm thankful for? I think about this often. You ever done wrong to somebody and you ask them, can I get your forgiveness? And it feels like it kind of takes a process of time. Yeah, I'll forgive you maybe today or tomorrow. Or man, you feel like you've done them wrong, and so you got to wait to ask him forgiveness, make sure they're over it. When you and I go to Jesus, or go to God through Jesus and ask forgiveness, it's instant. He doesn't have to say, well, let me think about it. Let me wait a minute. Let's take some time. Let me see if I can. No, no, no. He'll forgive you. And Zacchaeus found out that he forgave him. I love this. He found out that he's a finder. We quote verse number 10 all the time. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You understand, Jesus came that day for Zacchaeus, and when Zacchaeus sought Jesus, if you will, Jesus found him. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Matthew 18:11 reminds us, and Zacchaeus found that Jesus was already looking for him. We read the text often when Jesus needed to go to Samaria to the woman at the well. Jesus did it on purpose because he knew there was somebody there. I'm glad that he came looking for me. He came to seek and to save me. I've been asked before when pastoring, before pastor, if there was somebody over in a third world country and they didn't have the Bible and they wanted to know God. How could they get to know God? Because we know salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. And my answer to this is, if somebody genuinely looked up into heaven and just said, God, I want to know you, I want to know more about you, I believe God would send somebody their way. The Ethiopian eunuch, God sent Philip his way. He's reading the scripture. That's why I'm thankful for those who are willing to go. That's why you and I need to be sensitive to the people around us when the Holy Spirit says, hey, you need to tell them about Jesus. They might just be saying, I need something. There's got to be more out here. God, if you could show me something. And Zacchaeus had found out that Jesus came to find him. He found out that he was not just faithful, forgiver, finder. He found out at this moment that he's merciful, faithful. He'll find out he's a good shepherd, a great physician. He can be his shield, his protection, his provision, his helper, his comforter. Now I understand Zacchaeus may not have realized this all at this moment. He may not have quite grasped us at this moment. I got saved at the age of 11. When I got saved, I didn't quite understand everything about salvation. When I got saved at the age of 11, I didn't realize everything that he's going to be for me. I just knew that I was saved. My fellowship or my relationship was restored to God, and I can now have fellowship, and that I didn't have to go to hell. And that's about all my 11-year-old mind could comprehend at the time. But you know what I've found out since then? Is I've got a God, a Savior who is merciful, a Savior who's my good shepherd, a Savior who has been my great physician, a Savior who has been my protection, my provision, the one who's helped me, the one who's brought comfort through the Holy Spirit into my life, and all these things that I have since found out after meeting Jesus. So we see what He revealed, why He revealed. You know, Jesus came, the Bible said, for God sent not His Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he that hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the commandment, that light is come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. John tells us that in John chapter 3, that Jesus has come to reveal life and to reveal light. He came to reveal Himself to us. He came so that you and I could see Him. Now we know that from the beginning of time, before the foundation was even made, that God was going to send His Son, and He did it so that we could have life and that we could have light. God Himself is not, or Jesus Himself is not, trying to just be a mystery. He's trying to reveal Himself to us. The problem too many times why we don't know who He is or know much about Him is we're not taking time to get close to Him. You say, preacher, well, I'm saved and I know Him as my Savior. There's a lot more after that to get to know Him. There's a lot more that you and I can get to know Him. Can I tell you when He will reveal Himself? James said this, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. There's a promise here that if you and I will take time to draw close to God, He'll get close to us. The problem too many times in our Christian life is we get saved and we're just satisfied with knowing a little bit about God. We get saved and we're satisfied with what we hear on Sunday. And I'm not belittling what we hear on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Those are essential. But can I tell you, you and I need to get in the Word of God and study out who He is. We need to take the time after salvation. You found out He's a Savior. But after salvation, we need to find out His likes and His dislikes. Who He is. Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus, who He was. He wanted to know all about Him. He said, preacher, I think I know all about Jesus. I don't think so. Preacher, I think I've got a good grasp of everything about God and everything that God has to offer. Can I tell you, I don't know that we can ever get too close to God. Let me put it like this. I'll use a little Old Testament story. When Moses got close to God, the people couldn't even handle looking at Him. I don't know if there's anybody in here, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, that got so close to God today that people said, no, I can't handle looking at you. There were some people I said, I can't handle looking at you, but that's for a different reason. I don't know that we've gotten that close to God yet. I don't know that we've had that kind of relationship with Him yet. Zacchaeus wanted to see who He was, and what he found out is He can be a Savior. But over time, Zacchaeus found out even more about Him. The reason why Paul wrote so many scriptures was so that we as believers can really get to know who He is. We know Him in our walk. We can know Him through His Word. My wife and I, when we started dating, entering our relationship, we were at college, I tell people, we knew each other for 2 years in Bible college, and then finally I gave in and I told her we could start dating after she'd been chasing me for a while. And whenever she gets a turn to preach, she can tell that a different story. So that's my story and I'm sticking with it. But when we started dating, I had this notebook. I had written out all of these questions. What's her favorite food? What's her favorite candy? What's her favorite hymn, favorite Bible verse, favorite color? And I wanted to know everything about her. I wanted to make sure that I didn't do anything that she wouldn't dislike. I wanted to do something to make sure I did something that she would love. I wanted to know everything about her. Now I want to know what she dislikes so I can do it to just annoy her. But that's neither here nor there. And I had a desire to want to get to know her. You know what happened after a few years of marriage? I thought I really knew her. And I get comfortable. And husbands, you understand this. I would think that I'm going to buy her favorite candy. And I would bring it home excited because I felt like I knew her. And all of a sudden, something, she'd be like, I don't like that. She changed. Now don't misunderstand me. God doesn't change. God doesn't change. But sometimes we get so comfortable, we think we know Him. And we get so far away from God that we think, well, we've studied the Bible once before. You know, I read my Bible once before. I spent some time before, and we get so distanced from God that we forget what He likes or dislikes. Sometimes I think we can get to where we forget what His voice even sounds like. I never want to get tired of hearing my wife's voice. I want to be able to distinguish her voice from everybody else's. I don't want to get so close to her that even the things that she says that I can note, that's my wife talking. You know, it's amazing. There are things that I say now that I would never say that she says. I'm a Southerner. I'm from Arkansas. She is a Yankee. She's from Indiana. She's actually from Chicago area. So there are some weird things that she say because she's from Chicago. And you know what's happened after being married to her for a long time? I start saying the same things. I grew up saying Coke all my life, and now I say Pop. What has become of me? It's because I'm around her. You know, it's amazing is before salvation, there were things that I said, things that I thought. But once I get to know Him and I realize it's not pleasing to Him, I don't want to say those things. There are things that I realize as I get in the Word of God, that's not pleasing to Him. We look at the Christian life and we say, man, there's so many do's and don'ts. There's so many things that we're not allowed to do. But what we're missing is when we fall in love with God and we really want to get to know Him, it really doesn't matter if it's something that we don't like or we like. We just want to know, does He like it? Is He pleased with it? How familiar are you with God? How close have you gotten with your Savior? Zacchaeus said, I want to know who He is. Do you know Him as Savior this morning? If you don't, today's the day of salvation. But if you're saved this morning, do you know His likes and His dislikes? Do you know what's pleasing to Him? Do you know His voice? Can you hear it? Are you too far away from Him to where you can't hear His voice speak? It's not always a loud voice. Sometimes it's that still, small voice. Sometimes we get so distant, so backslidden, we don't really hear Him calling. The book of Revelation, the Bible says in chapter 3, verse 20, it said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will sup with him and he with me. Don't misunderstand, we use that verse a lot of times for salvation, but if you look at it in the context, Jesus is writing to, or John, on behalf of the Lord here, is writing to the church. And Jesus is saying, I'm outside the church doors and I'm knocking. And I'm saying, let me in. Hey, I want to come in. If somebody just hear me though, I'm going to come in and I'm going to sup with him. That word sup just means I want to come in and I want to have fellowship. It's just like sitting around the supper table. I want to come in and I want to have some sweet communion, some sweet fellowship. And he's talking to the believers here. Because there are believers who have put Jesus, if you will, outside the doors. They're not listening to the Holy Spirit anymore. They're doing what their flesh desires. They're doing what pleases them. And Jesus is just kindly knocking. Let me in. Let me in. And we've gotten so content with just knowing Him or knowing about Him that we don't really know Him in a personal, real way. When's the last time you've taken time to just say, Lord, I want to make sure I'm close to you. I really want to know who you are. I don't want him to be the God of my fathers. I want him to be my God. I don't want to be satisfied with hearing stories of what God did just in yesterday's. I want to know him personally today. Zacchaeus said, I want to know who he is. I've heard so many great things about him. I've heard the testimony of others, but I want to know him personally. Do you know him personally? Do you know him in a real way? Are you getting close to him? Are you content with just your relationship that you have? Are you happy? I'm thankful. Don't misunderstand me. I'm thankful for my salvation. Man, praise the Lord that I'm saved. But I want to get closer to him every day. As long as I live on this earth, every day I want to get a little closer to him and a little closer. But you know what seems to happen? It seems like there are times in my life where I start getting further and further away. We get busy with life. We get going doing things that aren't necessarily bad things, and they keep us from having a close relationship with him. Zacchaeus said, I'd like to know him. Not just know about him, know him. Can I tell you? You and I need to know him in a real personal way. Have a close, intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior. Preacher, how do I do it? Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. You take a step, he'll step close. He wants to be so close to us. Can I say it like this? He wants to be closer to us than we want to be to him. It just takes some time getting in his word, spending some time with him. How much time have you spent with him today? How much time did you spend with him last week? You say you want to know him. I say I love my wife, but if I'm not willing to spend time with her, am I really loving her? If I'm not wanting to go do the things that she loves to do, do I truly love her like I'm supposed to? Do you love the Savior this morning? Yes, preacher, I do. You spending time with him? Are you getting to know him? Are you getting close to him? Zacchaeus said, I want to know who he is. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come on, let's go to your house. I'll spend some time with you. He's not wanting to be distant. He's wanting to be close. It just takes us seeking him, and he'll find us, and he'll get close to us. Let's pray.